words, be faithful to the written word, and lead us to your living word. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Libby Gibson. I'm the rector of St. Mary's Church in Barnstable over on Cape Cod, and it's such a joy to be with you this morning. I have a little four-year-old son, and one of our evening routines includes watering the garden. He loves to go outside with his sprinkler and sometimes soak the dogs more than the garden, but he sprays it all over the place and just has such a joyful time in doing something as simple as that chore. Last week, while we were watering the tomato plants, he's spraying the hose back and forth, and all of a sudden erupts into what somehow could be more joy than he was already having with the water, and starts hollering, "God loves me, God loves me." Wow, that's right, buddy. How come? Like, why now? And he said, "Look, it's a rainbow. God's promised to always love me." And sure enough, I, you know, who knows where I was, lost in my thoughts. I wasn't paying any attention to the beautiful double rainbow that was arcing out of the mist coming off the hose with the evening sun coming through. Somehow, as adults, we lose that sense of joyfulness and that deep and profound knowing of how beloved we are by God. When Paul is writing his letter to the Ephesians, likely from jail in Rome, he tries to assure them of this knowledge by saying, "I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded by love." Being in this beautiful place and so close to the Methodist camp brings to mind the story of John Wesley, and I apologize if you've been told this story a lot, given the proximity to the camp. But to me, it's one of the most powerful stories of a man coming to know so deeply in his heart and in his bones how loved he is, and then the transformation that that brought about in his life. I'm sure you all know that John Wesley was one of 25 children, only 9 of whom lived into their adulthood, including his younger brother, Samuel Wesley, who was one of the great hymn writers of the church. And their mother, Susanna Wesley, was an incredible educator. She was sure that all of the children, including the girls, could read by the time that they were, you know, early walking and talking. And all of them were educated in Greek and Latin, which is so remarkable to imagine a mother taking care of all those children. She had a very regimented life with each of them, having every hour accounted for, drilling each of the children before the midday meal and again at bedtime to be sure that they were learning their lessons. And most of the Wesley children ended up knowing the majority of the New Testament by heart. It's really quite an extraordinary story of faithfulness and devotion. Part of what John took into his life at Oxford, where he continued to cultivate his extraordinary mind, was this sense of needing to have a very disciplined and structured life of faith and study. He and several of his friends bounded together to create something called the Holiness Club, which was very countercultural at that time, very much like our own day and age. There was a rising sense of secularism. And Wesley created this environment for his friends to come together to try to study Holy Scripture and to live outward lives that would cultivate a deep sense of peace. What he did, though, was he created a grid to chart every hour of his day and rank himself on a scale from 1 to 9 of how deep his devotion was. Can you imagine that, going through every hour of your day with such a profound sense of judgment of yourself and how your heart was in relationship to God? So Wesley proceeded through this Holiness Club through most of his time at Oxford, At some point after his graduation, James Oglethorpe, one of the great leaders and founders of the colony in Georgia, sent Wesley to the new colonies to be a priest down in Savannah. On the crossing from England to the new colonies, they experienced a tremendous storm. And on the boat with Wesley was a group of Moravian pietists, also coming to the New World. And they experienced the storm when the mast cracked on the boat with a sense of calm and peace, and basically sang hymns together throughout this storm while, Wesley writes, the English panicked and freaked out. This was a profound moment for Wesley because he realized that all of these external rigors, you know, daily, hourly accounting of his devotion and his holiness, was not actually sowing in him the inner strength that Paul talks about, this sense of being deeply formed and grounded in the love and peace of God. He only spent a couple years in Savannah, and it's actually a fascinating soap opera-like story of what happened down there, including a failed love affair which caused him to flee the country to go back to England, where he was heartbroken and depressed. And he finds himself sitting in on Aldersgate Street in London with a group of Moravians. He had returned to them to see if he could find that deep peace that he had witnessed on the crossing. And it's there that we read about this beautiful Aldersgate Street conversion experience, where while he was listening to the preacher read from Luther's preface to the letter to the Romans, he felt his heart strangely warmed. All of the rigors of scripture study, all of the denial, all of the fasting, all of the holiness methods that he used seeking so desperately for God's love, he found in this moment of deep peace and relaxation when he literally had hit rock bottom. From that moment on, the trajectory of his life took off in a totally different direction, and he became passionately committed to bringing this message of God's peace and love to all people. This is when he started preaching in the fields. He really enraged the church leaders at the time, going into the prisons to proclaim God's love and healing to people who were sometimes in debtors' jails. His life was fundamentally converted. Even though he was a lifelong Christian, he counted that Aldersgate Street experience as his conversion. This is the peace and the joy that as children so naturally comes to us. But as adults, we can get covered over with so many worries and thoughts and questions. It's natural for us to seek to understand more about God through theological studies, to seek to understand more about our communities as a church through scripture studies. But when all of this head knowledge clouds or covers over our hearts and our ability to experience God's peace, then our lives don't bear the fruit of the love that God is so desperately wanting to pour into each and every one of us. St. Augustine in his Confessions has that beautiful line, God, I would not seek you if I had not already found you. That can be such a tremendous comfort and a lifeline for those of us during different times in our lives who struggle to feel that sense of peace and joy and to know so deep in our hearts how beloved we are. But what we learn from being with children, from Wesley's conversion experience, and I hope from your own life experience, because your own life is often your greatest teacher, is that God comes to us and brings us that sense of peace in those moments when we can relax. Whether it's watching the beautiful sunrises and sunsets, laughing with our family members, enjoying a delicious meal, taking a yoga class, wherever it is that you find that your mind can settle down just a little bit. That is the place where God can reach most deeply into your heart and give you that warm sense